Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey guys, it's Lisa Stanley, your Rent-A-Yenta. Welcome to What Goes On Around Here. And on today's show, we've got the talented actress Marissa Jarrett Winokur, best known for her Tony-winning role, Tracy Turnblad, in Broadway's Hairspray. She's got a new project at Netflix and is here to tell us all about it. Hi, Marissa Jarrett Winokur.
Hi. Hi, how's it going?
Welcome to What Goes On Around Here. I'm the Rent-A-Yenta that carries the show, but now I got another Yenta with me, which is fantastic.
I was like, wait, I'm the Rent-A-Yenta.
I don't know. You're adorable is what you are. I mean, honest to God. Born in New York, your mom a teacher, your dad an architect, and you went the complete opposite way.
Yeah. I was like, look at me, look at me, look at me instead. Yeah. I definitely went the other way. My mom was just more of a stay-home mom. Definitely more of a stay-home mom. She would say that she was a teacher, but she kind of was more just teaching me because I was a child, right?
Were you the only child?
No, I was one of four.
Oh, Lord.
I know. And I was a total mistake. Like, my parents
were
done. Yes. And they were done having kids. My older brother's 16 years older than me.
Oh, wow.
And, like, they went off and traveled and left me with my brothers my whole childhood. Like, they did not raise me. I love them so much, but they did not raise me.
Well, maybe that was a good thing.
Yeah. I did, because I needed attention so badly that I'd be like, well, I'm in a show, so if I do that, will you come home? And they wouldn't. Like, they would be in, like, Portugal. They're like, just videotape it.
And how come they didn't take you?
Well, they did once. They took me and my sister once to Amsterdam with them. And then, I'm not even joking, you know how you can get bumped from the airplanes?
Yes.
So my parents, we got bumped. Two of us got bumped. Two of us didn't. They sent me and my sister alone home on an airplane. And then they stayed and flew alone back. And I think about that now, like having it, because I have an 11-year-old son now. And I'm like, I couldn't imagine not being like, well, one parent goes with one child and the other. But no, they like went back and like drank champagne and were like, well, we'll just have them meet us at the airport. We sat in the airport by ourselves waiting for them to come like 5 hours later.
Is it wrong for me to say I love your parents?
Yeah. No. Is that so crazy? Like, it's so insane.
Say?
No.
That's chutzpah at its finest.
Absolutely.
To do that.
Absolutely.
And kind of like a reverse of the Home Alone movie.
Oh, totally. They were like, please leave. They wanted to leave us alone. They meant to leave us. They're like, why did you come with us?
Yeah. So now I understand why you say growing up you were an overachiever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what does that mean? What did you overachieve?
Well, I mean, listen, I'm an overachiever even to this day. I'm like, if I'm going to eat a bag of chips, I'm going to eat four bags of chips. Like, I'm like, I don't do anything half-assed. Like, I'm literally like either all in or all out. So everything, I mean, I think if I start to do something, it's like if I'm like, oh, I'm going to paint one side of, like, the wall needs to be painted. I'm like, well, now the whole house needs to be painted. Like, I'm all extremes. I mean, it's definitely like a thing where I meet new people. They're like, wow, you're just too much. I don't know if we can be friends. Like, you're just a lot, you know? And then, like, by, like, the end of lunch, they're like, okay, this is great. You're going to change my whole life for me. I'm like, yes, we're going to go in. I'm going to get you fake hair and you're going to be beautiful again.
Oh,
yeah.
Man, you'd be my best friend, because I'm pretty much the same way. I think it's a little OCD we have. Just a little bit. All right. So, God, you were a busy girl in high school. Cheerleading, captain of a soccer team.
Yes, I was. Well, I didn't know what you were talking about. I was like, who told you I was?
I didn't mean that, but.
But it's okay. We're all grown up now.
No, you were a cheerleader. Yeah. And this is what she means by overachieving people. She not only was a cheerleader, because I was a cheerleader, that takes a lot of time, a lot of work. But then you decide at the same time you're going to be captain of a soccer team?
Yeah, well, I only became a cheerleader because it felt like, well, that was the right thing to do because that was how you're going to date boys. Like, I did it to meet boys. Like, I was like, well, that's where all my friends were, so I have to do that. But I grew up playing soccer. I loved soccer. So, like, I would have let my dad down if I, like, had given up on soccer. I remember, like...
You mean the dad that left you at the airport alone?
Yeah, the dad who, like, didn't care about me unless I was playing soccer or on stage. Let's be perfectly clear. Like, the best thing was being an actress. The second best thing would be, like, a professional soccer player, which, by the way, I've always been overweight, so that was never going to be my, like, goal, you know, being a soccer player. But I did, and I think I probably was the captain of the soccer team just because I was the loudest, right? So how are they going to not? And I was the most, you know, inspiring.
Vivacious.
Like, I was we can beat anybody. And I remember what was so crazy was, though, because I was an actress, I wanted to be an actress when I grew up, I would wear this, like, insane mouth guard. Like, you know, like how football players
wear...
So
that you wouldn't get your teeth messed up.
Because I was scared of getting, like, my teeth
broken. Well, what age did you decide you wanted to be an actress?
Like, when I was, like, 8 years old. I was like, I'm going to be a Broadway star.
And what prompted that for you? Did you see something on Broadway, or how did that...
I was listening to albums of Ethel Merman, because my parents would, like, buy me, like, they would go to tag sales, and they would buy all, like, Broadway show tunes.
You know, you kind of sing like her.
I do. I mean, I really am. Like, I feel
you
like
really
I'm...
You really do have
I could
that
be
big
this,
voice.
Yeah. I mean, you guys, I'm in the other room, and I'm talking into this mic. No, I'm just kidding. You guys have no idea. I'm literally 35 feet away from this microphone, everybody. And my dad would just bring home things from tag sales, and I'm like, and I lived in New York, so I was able to go see musicals and stuff. But in high school, I was so scared of getting my teeth knocked out that I'd have this crazy mouth guard. So I was like, more just scary, because I would like run up to get the ball and be like, like no other girls wore mouth guards, so I was crazy.
Darth Vader coming on the field.
I was insane, exactly. But I loved being a cheerleader because that was just fun,
but
and
now,
I liked boys.
The way you're describing your high school experience sounds pretty good to me, but yet you say you were bullied.
What? No. I don't know if I said I was bullied.
I did read somewhere
that I was
where,
bullied.
Yeah.
I think here's the thing. You probably read something where I said, like, oh, I wanted to do. Because I think that sometimes people assume that, like, I remember doing Dancing with the Stars, let's be clear. They would be like, ladies and gentlemen, the plus size dancer. And I'd be like,
I remember them calling you that.
Oh, yeah, totally. It was amazing. They would be like, I know we totally just went off of high school right now, but I'm going to this moment.
Go.
But they'd be like, the Olympic gold medalist, the NFL superstar, the plus size dancer. Like, and I would literally be backstage being like, are you kidding me? Like, how about Tony Award winning actress? But like,
how about that?
I know, but so. I'm sure that, like, storylines happen on reality shows. Like, I don't really remember being bullied, so there might be stories. I remember everybody being like, is this like going to the prom? I was like, yeah, I went to, like, 20 proms. But, like, okay, if that's where we're going with this, you know, like, reality TV sometimes takes stories where they want to take them, and then you just kind of go along with it because, like, you're just part of the show.
I'm still trying to get over you were introduced
as a plus-size dancer.
No, I mean, yeah. I know Dina Katz pretty well.
Oh, I love Dina Katz.
And like, I'm really bummed to hear that.
No. And in fairness, it was never like live on the show. It was like
during rehearsal,
or it would be like on ET or on Good Morning America, or like when they would be introducing us there. It was never on ABC proper. So
well, not for nothing, but I'm sitting across from you, and I would never call you a plus size.
Oh my god,
I wouldn't.
I mean, here's the truth.
I mean, you're not skinny. I'm not gonna lie.
Oh, no. We're not kidding anybody. I was also 50 pounds lighter when I did Dancing with the Stars,
which always makes me laugh
because I'm like, how are you? But you know what? I am it's all plus size. Like, who cares about sizes? And like, being plus size is amazing.
You look good to me.
Thank you. I'm absolutely plus size. Like, let's be perfectly clear.
Because honestly, you look fabulous.
I'm also just 5 feet tall. But like, being plus size is beautiful. It's all the whole like stigma behind any of it. Like, it's like, it doesn't even matter. It wasn't the plus size dancer that made me mad.
Did your weight stop or inhibit you from any roles or anything like that?
Oh no, my weight has never stopped me from anything. From the start of, like, I always, like, I mean, I was always chubby, but I'm definitely at my heaviest now, but, like, who cares? It's like,
I'm telling you, you got a body dysmorphia.
I have a scale. I have the numbers. I can tell you all my numbers, and I am the heaviest I've ever been. That's not a disorder, everybody. But, like, that's not what my spirit is. It doesn't actually. I've never.
Sure doesn't.
I've been 80 pounds lighter, and I've been this weight, and I literally feel exactly the same. So weight is literally just the number on the scale, which is exactly more than I've ever weighed. So that much is not dysmorphia.
Well, I'll tell you, me too. something happens when you get a certain age where somebody comes into your house and adjusts that scale to go the wrong way.
Maybe that's what it is.
And it's the same guy who goes into your closet and shrinks all your clothes. It's the same guy.
You know what I think is so funny? It's actually not even my clothes. It's like when I put on a pair of underwear and I'm like, well, I don't remember these being so small. I must have used to wear smaller panties. That's like, no, your butt is so much bigger that the panties don't fit.
I'm here to tell you that my panties were getting small, too.
Well, maybe you wore smaller panties when you were younger to feel sexy.
No, I think the shrinking fairy has been in my drawers.
I think the styles have changed, and we now wear... I think it's more in style now to wear boy shorts as underwear than it used to be when I first got married.
I'm going with that.
Yes, me too.
All right, so what was your first gig, and how old were you?
Oh, you guys, my first gig, this is my favorite. I was in a musical that would like travel around it was like I was 17 and you'd go into high school. So here's already now, I'm in high school traveling around other high schools to teach them about nutrition and sex ed, right? So I was a singing piece of poop. Well, it was really a singing piece of fiber, but I had a song that literally was like, I'm going to sing you the first verse because it's so funny. So now imagine 17-year-old Marissa wanting to just be loved and accepted and going into other people's high schools, your neighboring high schools, and singing fiber song. The fiber song went like this. Fiber, gotta keep it moving, I'm fiber. Keep the line clean, I'm fiber. Gotta keep it moving, I'm scraping, scrubbing, rooter machine. And then I would break dance with a hard hat. You guys, I literally break danced with a hard hat. I was like, I'm getting through, I'm getting into you, I'm getting the poop out. That is what, that is no joke. That is all true.
And then the fact that you remember that 20 some years later, come on.
I remember. And then I was like Dino Kid, and I was like a baby dinosaur that like wanted to find his way. I was a rainbow dinosaur and I didn't know where I came from. And then I was a dancing piece of okra, and I had a show called Okra Winfrey, and I was teaching kids about vegetables. You guys, it was my first real. Okay, but by the way,
what was your first real paying job?
Well, hey, I got paid tons
for that. Did
they pay
you to be poop?
I got paid to be poop. I got paid to be poop. I got paid to be okra. I got paid to be a little dinosaur baby.
How much money did they pay to be poop?
Like $1,000 a week, which was like insane. Like, I want you to know that when I got my first Broadway show, which was Grease on Broadway, and I got paid literally almost the same amount as I got paid as traveling as poop. I mean, I should have just stuck with that gig because it was so much stress. Had no stress. I didn't have to like go to rehearsal to be poop.
And you cleaned out every day.
Literally. Kept everything moving.
So what was your first Broadway
musical? Grease was my first Broadway musical. And then I stayed in that show for 4 years because everybody would leave and I would kept saying like, where are you going? They're like,
who were you, Rizzo?
I was Jan, but
Jan.
Thank you.
Okay.
Rizzo's were like, was like Lucy Lawless and, you know, everybody would come through, like all the big stars. And I was Jan, which was like the cute, funny, chubby pink lady. And I stayed in that show for 4 years because like, why would you leave a Broadway show? And I was really young. Like, that's how I got my Equity card. And
how old were you?
I wasn't 21 yet. I celebrated, so I was 20.
So did Hairspray come right after that?
No. So then, no, isn't that crazy? So I did that for 4 years, and then I moved out to Los Angeles, and I literally came out to LA for my friend, for Lucy Lawless's wedding, and I was like, oh, this is amazing. Like, you can do TV and film. I had no idea about TV and film. I just wanted to be a Broadway star. And I got a job, like, one of my first movies was, like, I think it was Teaching Mrs. Tingle, or one of those, like, I think it was Teaching Mrs. Tingle, which was Helen Mirren and Katie Holmes,
wow.
And I was like, blink, blink,
what
oh my God, right? And I got, like, 3 weeks on the movie because I had one line in the classroom, and I was like, you get paid how much to do a movie? Like, I literally lived in a 2-bedroom with 6 girls starring in a Broadway show in Greece. And then I came out to LA and was like, I'm making the same amount for 3 weeks in 6 months that I would take for 6 months on Broadway. So I absolutely was like, I'm staying here. And let's be clear, I was the only chubby girl in LA at that time, like literally. So like I worked on TV and film and thought like, I'll go back to Broadway someday. But they would also put out like craft services that they don't do in New York on Broadway, you know? And I was like, wait, we get like a whole buffet of food like twice a day? I'm never leaving. So Hairspray happened after all of that.
Okay, so you stayed out here for how long before Hairspray?
Like 3 years.
3 years.
Yeah.
Okay. And then
five, like 4 years before it opened. But yeah.
You originated the role, right?
I did, of Tracy Turnblad
mm-hmm. on Broadway.
I was the first person to audition.
And there's you took a Tony. She got
I
a
did.
Tony for that in 2003,
I did.
Right?
I took that
Come
Tony.
Come on, you took that Tony.
Oh, yeah.
For leading actress, I'd like to add.
Thank you.
But here's what I want to talk about, because no one knew this at the time. You were diagnosed with cervical cancer when you got the role in Hairspray, and you were panicked that they would find out, as I would have been, and fired you.
Yeah.
So how did you deal with all that?
Well, the only good side of that was that we were doing the readings of Hairspray. So the when you do a reading of a show, it's like one time every 6 months. So we had 2 years of come in, we work on it for 2 weeks, and then in 6 months we'll work on it again. And the writers write it, and we say like, oh, what is it missing? You know, it's a real, you really work out the show. So it was during, it was like in that time, it wasn't like I found out while I was in rehearsal for the show to open.
So it was in that 6 months of not.
Exactly. Okay. In that 6 months of like, we're not really doing anything, you know. And I found out, and I was absolutely terrified, because I was like, if they find out in this, even in like the workshop process, that I have cancer, and I had uterine and cervical at the time, and they were like, if we find out, I'm like, they'll absolutely, they've already are trying to find a different Tracy. Like, that's an easy way to be like, let's cut her.
What do you mean? Back up. What do you mean they were already trying to find a different
Tracy?
For
the 2 years that I was doing the workshops, they were like, well, the first girl that auditioned can't be our girl. So they would do open call auditions, like every city had a call, like everybody was auditioning. They were like, "Man, I guess Marissa's still the best." Like, I'm not even kidding. Like, during the last reading, and we opened on Broadway like 3 months later, there were literally like posters all over New York. Are you the next Tracy Turnblad? And I was like, yeah, I am. Like, there'd be posters everywhere.
Wow.
But so I had cancer, and I literally just kind of was like, I don't have time for this. Honestly, it was probably, in looking back now in my life, I definitely have a whole perspective of, thank God that happened then, because I had such a, literally my life's dreams and goals were about to happen. So I didn't have time to even feel sorry for myself. I was like a warrior. I had to fight it. I had to get better. And I didn't tell any of the producers. I didn't tell anybody in the cast, mostly because I didn't want them to fire me or be like, oh, no, I worried. And then when I started doing the show, and I was like, oh, now I have a platform. I could talk about it. I hadn't even dealt with it yet. You know what I mean? Like, it happened fast. So I hadn't even thought about like, oh, I can't give birth to a child. Oh, all these things that were going to definitely affect me later on in life. I just was like, I'll bury all those feelings and do my lifelong goals.
And you have an 11-year-old son, and it was via surrogate,
yes,
correct?
Yes.
So that's cool. I mean,
yeah.
Thank God for these.
For science.
Yes.
We're jumping, but like, I had a son. We had a surrogate. We were able to, I still had my ovaries. So we were able to remove my eggs. So we were able to have, you know, a biological child, which my sister adopted. I mean, everybody, anyway, if you want to be a mom, you can be a mom.
For sure.
There's no right, like, there's no better way. Like, and I believe that whatever child you have is meant to be. Like, so I even believe my cancer is why it was all set up to have this child.
Meant to be, I agree. And you're fine now, right?
Yeah.
Healthy,
like,
and
it's
going to
be, this is 19 years in December.
Oh, thank
I know,
God.
That's how, I just looked at my friend who's like, oh, we're old. That was 19 years ago, Gwen. Yes, that was 19 years ago.
All right, so you do, how many years did you do for the first time around with Hairspray?
The first time around with Hairspray, so I had done the workshops for 2 years. So I jumped right in, did the first year, and during that year, it obviously, now I'm like, I mean, I want to say at the time I was one of the very first like chubby actresses to like come on the scene to be like, I'm a leading lady. And
100%.
You know, like, and at the same time, Nia Vardalos was doing My Big Fat Greek Wedding. So like the two of us were literally doing press. It was like the world was like, yes, we love these women. You know, it was a great time. So at that time, I did it 1 year because then I had a deal with ABC and they were like, the minute your deal is done, you're coming to us and we're going to give you all this money and develop a TV show for you. And I was like, I'm in, you know? And then of course, like nobody does
but
their
jobs. But you did come out and you did do a plethora of TV.
Yes. And then I came back.
You
exactly.
Did. You did voiceovers,
yes,
movies.
Everything. I say no. I say yes to every job.
Yeah, that's how I am. That's how I am, too.
Yeah.
Then you got a job. This is so interesting to me. I read you got a job playing you.
Yeah.
Okay. And at what point did some TV executive call you and tell you you need to change your entire look?
Oh.
But you were you.
Oh, I love this one. Okay. I was like, I didn't know where we were doing this. So this wasn't an acting job. This was one of my hosting jobs. I love you really dove in. So this is like, I mean, it's one of those weird things that happens in Hollywood, right? Like they were like,
I've never heard of this happening.
Okay. So,
ever.
So I did Dancing with the Stars and then I had this deal with Sony to do my own talk show and that was great. But then they did a deal with Dr. Oz. So my talk show went away because they only did one show that year, which was fine. I got all the money. My son was born that year and I was like, oh, thank God. Right. So then I believe that everything always happens for
no
a reason and I have no regrets and
yes.
All good. So I get this job to host Dance Your Ass Off and I'm the host. I'm Marissa Jarrett Winoker here to host Dance Your Ass Off. They know what they're hiring. This is me. I'm me, right? So about, I want to say 6 episodes in, they were like, so maybe you're going to also go on a diet. I was like, oh, that's cool. I'll do it. And also, I want to straight up be though, I first started that job thinking I was going to be like a mentor in the house, being like, I'm going through what you're going through. Like, let's do this together. And that's how it was pitched to me. And then I was like, you know, the chubby girl in the tightest dress possible, being like, let's see how much weight you lost. And just being like jealous and have envious of the girls that were losing the weight. I was like, oh, you lost 6 pounds this week. What does that feel like? You know, like, so an executive came to me, not the production staff of 495, because they were actually amazing. But it was at Oxygen. And they came to me and they were like, they called me up and they were like, so we want you to change your look. And I was like, my look? Like, this is my look, right? They were like, we want you to straighten your hair. We want you to lose some weight. And we want to, like, change the way you dress. And I was like, well, that's insane. But of course, you're like, okay, I just want to keep my job. So there's, like, video. I'm sure there's footage, but it's of me during, the reunion special. So I changed my whole look. They blow dry my hair. I'm, like, trying to lose weight for the thing. I'm wearing, like, leggings and, like, a loose-fit dress rather than my, like...
Even though you acquiesced, how did you feel inside about
horrible.
That?
Horrible.
Right.
I mean, I felt so horrible. I remember I was driving into like a Barney's. You know when they do those like outlet center sales and it's like you go to like almost like a hangar and you're like,
yes.
Oh my God, Barney's doing this huge
in
like
Santa Monica
yes,
hangar.
The Santa
yes.
Monica hangar and you
yes.
go to the Barney's sales. And,
yes.
and this woman said to me.
And you have to change in front
yeah,
of everyone.
You go wearing a tank top and leggings
yes.
so you can just do it. And you're
yes.
trying on like evening gowns and you don't care. So I loved going and I was pulling. I mean, I remember it so well. I was pulling into that and she's like, we just want your look to be a little more current. And I was like, current? Like, I'm as current as there is. Now, no, I completely dress like my own style, obviously, but in my mind, it felt very current. but yeah, that one threw me. Like, that one was like, that was hard.
As
because,
a result of it, how did you go further on? I mean, did that pop in your head each time you had a job?
No, because I went and did a horrible job being the person they wanted me to be, and I realized, no, what I did and what I bring is me, and they're hiring me, and on that job, the second season came back, and they didn't bring me back, they didn't hire me back, and they hired Mel B, who, by the way, is an amazing talk show, like, she's an amazing host, like, Mel B, like, if you just said, we're hiring Mel B because she's an amazing host, no, like, I got nothing for you, you're right. Mel B is an amazing host, but they were like, we're going to hire her because she's more relatable than you. And I was like, that's what like they said at the...
Mel B
and I was
is
like,
more
you mean
relatable
scary?
Than you?
Yeah, I was like, Scary Spice is more relatable than like cute, chubby Marissa? I was like, I don't think so. But so that kind of like fell by the wayside. And then
Did you go on a diet and try to lose weight for them?
Oh, yes, of course.
Because you did say I read you're a calorie counter. Are
oh,
you
let's
still
be clear.
A calorie counter?
Let's be clear. Just because I'm okay with being at where I am... I'm always like, well, that's not true. Half the time I'm like, who cares? But and I'm going to eat all the chips in the house. Like, that's it. Like literally on Big Brother, there's more footage of me pouring Doritos down my throat than anything else. But I also like go through these stunts where overachiever happens and I'm like, I'm going to go on a diet. And then I go completely to the dark side, right? Where I'm like, there's no middle ground for me. So then I have done it where I've lost 80 pounds, completely healthy in the sense of I'm eating 1,200 calories. I'm working out 3 times a day. I'm completely neurotic.
No fad diet, in other words.
Yeah, no, like I've never tried. I mean, look, I know the math. Like I'm a math person. So like, you know the math. Calories in, calories burned.
There is no diet
at the end of the day, and like
all
I would
calories.
Write a book about this. Every diet, Weight
Why
Watchers.
Why don't you write a book about
I know,
it?
I should write a book about
you
it.
You really should.
But it's everything is all the diets equal the same at the end. They're probably going to say, don't have sugar, don't have gluten, don't have dairy. Like, at the end of the day, count your, like, and even if they don't say count your calories, if you look at what you're eating on, like, Weight Watchers, they're like, all the vegetables you want. Well, yeah, because there's really no calories and it's all healthy, right?
Right.
So it always evens out the same thing. So I'm a calorie counter because that's what works for me. Every diet will work if you follow the rules, but the rules always are going to be in
but
calories
in, calories
burned.
But this doesn't sound like a diet. This sounds like a way of life for you.
Yes.
And oh, that is much healthier,
well,
I think.
Well, yeah, but when I don't do it, it's well, not healthy because then I'm
that.
Like, there's so many calories in and zero calories burned. Like, that's my happy place, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, that is. All right, we're going to take a quick break and we're going to be right back.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So, we're back, and we're talking to Marissa Jared Winokur. Winokur? How do you say your name?
I say it Winokur. But
Winokur.
That's how I say it. Half of my relatives say Winokur, half say Winokur. So it's literally
I like
to
say
I don't care.
Like you.
Thank
Winokur.
You. Winokur.
Winokur.
Yeah.
All right, so let's move on from the calorie counting, because now I'm worried about what I've eaten already today.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm like a savant. Like, I'm literally like, yeah, I'm a savant with that.
And let's talk about that you leave the hairspray, but then you come back again in 2009, and you stay till it closes.
Yeah, Harvey Fierstein and I both did.
Genius.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy it more the second time?
Oh, 1,000%. Because Hairspray was so much more to me than just a Broadway show, right?
In my opinion, you're the reason Hairspray became so popular.
Thank
you. In my opinion.
Thank you.
It was your character and your performance.
Thank you. It was so in line. Like I always say, like if it's in line with your spirit and like everything lines up, it's right. And that show for me, like I mean, when we were talking about cancer, it's like I didn't even tell like the press about that because I didn't want people to come and see the show and be like, oh my God, that girl had cancer last year. You know what I mean? Like I just wanted them to love Tracy Turnblad. Like it was not about me being ashamed or embarrassed. It was genuinely, I was like, just come and love the show.
You were protecting
Tracy.
Yes.
And I remember, you know, when we went back and closed it, Harvey and I did, and I had at that time now had, my son was 6 months old. So now it was
and
like,
is it true your husband delivered your son?
Well, yeah, we were both, I mean, he did more than me. I was trying not to pass out. Let's be clear. But like, some women are magnificent creatures. I will never, I mean, I don't, it's almost like I went black because I don't even know.
You start to think of that movie, right? Gone with the Wind. I ain't birthing no babies.
Oh, exactly. And I certainly, I sat up the top of the bed and hold our surrogate's hand and my husband was helping the doctors.
Unbelievable.
I was not. And that carried on to today as a mother. I'm not very helpful, but.
All right. So he was Zeb. Is that
so
his
Zeb,
name?
Yeah,
6 months old.
Zebby was 6 months old, and at the last curtain call, my niece, who is a costume designer, she made like the Link Larkin costume for my like little 6 month old baby, and they like passed him up to me for the final curtain call. I mean, it was such a full circle for me, just because it wasn't. Here's the truth: had I not had cancer before Hairspray, I probably would not have appreciated and understood how much Hairspray, because I didn't care about the Tonys. I didn't care about the awards. Honestly, like, I mean, now I'm so glad I have it and glad I worked my butt off to get it. But at the time, I was just like, oh my God, last year, this is like, I'm so glad my parents are alive. I'm so glad they get to see this. I'm glad that they were, you know, they were terrified. I had cancer. Their daughter had cancer. And then they got, you know, a year later, I'm accepting a Tony Award, you know? So like, that was all so much. And then to be able to go back when it wasn't so important, every word was so important, you know what I mean? Like, and by then I had done,
and then you could relax and have a little
absolutely
more fun. And then not only did you come back a second time, you did it at the Hollywood Bowl a third
now
time.
That was the Hollywood Bowl. I know I say Hairspray is the gift that keeps on giving, so
no,
I got to do it at the Hollywood Bowl. Harvey and I did it at the Hollywood Bowl together, and I did it with Nick Jonas, so I got to make out with Nick Jonas.
Oh,
what? I did not realize you did Hairspray with Nick Jonas. And I also have a little mini Hairspray thing
oh
that I actually auditioned auditioned for something in high school with the, I don't even remember the name of the song now, but the world keeps spinning around.
You can't stop the beat.
Yeah, you can't stop the beat. I auditioned with that song.
That's a hard song to use as an audition.
Sing.
Yeah, but that's still like, that's a fast song.
I was auditioning for Thoroughly Modern Millie.
Oh, all right. Well, that's a good one to sing then.
Yeah, so
I mean, because those are both hard shows.
But yeah, but I
and
love
your
how did you do?
And she's a
freak. I got a part in it.
Good.
I wasn't a main or lead or anything. I was kind of young, but it was fun. But
good.
I love Nick Jonas. Yeah, back to that.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, I wish you could see her face. Her face is bright red.
I know, really red.
He's so sweet. He was so sweet. I loved it so much. Like, I loved it so much. And I was so impressed by him just because he would literally, like, because, you know, he's diabetic, and he would literally, like, take off his, like, diabetic pump to do like a big flop, you know, like to do a flip on, and then he would run off and put it back in. I was like, you're awesome. And he was just so sweet and lovely. So I got to do it with him, which was great. Hairspray, I mean, it literally, that was my, if you want to know, like, what was your favorite time doing Hairspray at the Hollywood Bowl checked off every dream, every goal, everything that I've ever done. And that, I mean, I put that Tracy Turnblad costume back on, and the last night it was, like, over, I was, like, I went outside and signed autographs in my Tracy Turnblad costume, you guys. I was, like, completely a crazy person.
You think
person.
It's the last time you're ever going to wear that?
Well, it's in my closet, so.
No.
So the answer is no.
No.
I don't mean
in your real life. I mean on stage.
My husband and I like to play a little Tracy Turnblad Link Larkin game.
Oh my God.
I mean,
I would give anything to see that.
I mean, we should do like a little like comedy video about that, right?
Yeah,
oh, I should totally do that. That would be so funny. Or I like go to birthday parties and I'm like putting the Tracy Turnblad costume on. Like,
you are hilarious.
That
but
was everything.
On stage,
that was everything.
You're not going to do it again, are you? If they bring it back?
I don't know how. I'm over 40 years old.
Yeah, but you look like you're 20.
She's 16 years old.
I know, but you look really young.
You look young.
You really do.
I mean,
you look really young.
You do.
I mean,
that. And your personality.
I got a face for radio.
That's my line.
I'm like, that's like literally the oldest joke. I literally just turned it. Everyone's like, yeah, she's old. I think she's 60. Yeah. That was the best. And I literally cried. I mean, when that show was over, I was like, I'm never going to do this. And people are like, you're going to do all. Like, you're going to come and do the Hollywood Bowl again. I'm like, but not as Tracy Turnblad. Like, it was like better than doing like my one woman show. You know what I mean? Like, that was the most magical time of my life.
Well, thank goodness for that. All right. So you mentioned earlier you did Dancing with the Stars, but you didn't just do one reality show. You did two reality shows, Big Brother, and you won.
Can you believe that?
And you said you did it for your son.
I did.
But you were also a huge fan.
Yeah. So I lied. No, I'm just kidding. I just made my son feel like I was doing it for him, so he'd let me go away for 30 days.
Because you did say it was a dream come true.
And I know, but like, and also in the house, my game was, this is just for my kid. I don't even care if I win. Oh my God, I'm so
Wait
rich.
Wait a minute.
Oh,
so
totally.
That was all a lie?
It was all a game. Yeah.
Oh, I love you.
Like, that was all a lie. Like, I was all a lie.
But
like,
you continued that lie after you won when they were interviewing you.
Yeah, because how do you, at that point, then you're like, oh,
you
no,
say
everyone's
I
gonna
played
hate.
The game.
No.
I lied.
Here's the truth. The reason I was able to do it was because it was my son's favorite show, so there was no fight. Because I hadn't even gone away from him for a week at that time, you know? Now I'm like, bye-bye!
And in Big Brother, you have to live in that house.
Yes, I live.
Is it 30 days?
Mine was just for 30 days. The real Big Brother proper is 90 days.
Ooh.
Which I just wish I had that.
Really?
As a mom, I think every mom can understand the idea of going away for 90 days and like not having your husband ask you like, where is the bananas? Like right there. Like, where's the milk? Well, where do you think milk is?
Under
like,
M.
Yeah.
Like, under M.
Exactly. In the refrigerator. So, I don't think I really could do 90 days, really.
No,
but
that
like,
seems tough.
I loved it so much.
Really?
Here's the really interesting.
What goes on in that house that we don't get to see on the feed or just in America?
Oh, there's nothing. If you're watching the live feeds, you're seeing it. So there's always like these people who are like, the producers are telling. No. You speak to a camera. You don't even speak to a human. You don't see another human from outside the game. You don't see a producer. You hear their voices and their questions are like there was definitely a time where they asked me like, so now you're teaming up with, you know, James and Mark. And I'm of course a smart player and was like, if I say that right now, the girls will go home and be like, oh, she teamed up with the boys. And I was like, no, I'm just with the girls. And then they would be like, okay, then tell us about the girls. Like the producers do not help you. They do not make you say anything. Like, sometimes, yes, they'll make me say, like, the rules of the game again. They'll be like, can you just talk me? I'm going to feed you the lines for the game, right?
Okay, but in other words, they're not feeding you your storyline.
They're not feeding right. you. And, like, they don't tell you anything. I mean, a smart person can be like, I was in the diary room and they asked me and they said, oh, tell us about you and Ross trying to do the cleaning. So then I'm a smart person. I'm like, well, they must have thought that was funny. So, Ross, let's clean up the living room. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
like I'm not a moron. Like, I can tell, like, what their storylines
are. Matthews
yeah,
Ross Matthews is who she's talking about.
Yeah.
But, by the way, anything romantically go on in that house?
No.
Not you, you're married.
Yeah, but so what, right? No. No, nobody was my type, and James was too young.
I mean, who was farting? Who was, like, doing crazy things in there?
Nobody. Like, it was one of those weird, I mean, like.
How boring.
It was really boring in that sense. Like, our season was much more boring than season two, right? So had I seen season two where everybody was, like, fighting, it was much more like Housewives. I couldn't, my spirit would not have, I would have been too scared to go into that house. Whereas, like, our house was definitely, like, a family-friendly show. And, like, it really was. Like, everybody was married, pretty much, except for James and Ari, who...
And Ross. He wasn't married. He had a boyfriend,
but he had a boyfriend who he'd been
Salvador,
with for 10 years,
yes,
right?
Yes.
I mean, they've recently split
up
but,
yeah.
like, they're... But amicably. Is that a
yes.
word? Did
yes,
I say that
it's
right? right?
It's very true.
That was, like, a four-syllable word. I said amicably. Oh, see, now I can't do it again. Nope, don't try. I tried to be fancy. So, no, there was no romantic... Like, I mean, Meta World Peace / Ron Artez, like, really was missing his wife.
He wanted to leave.
Yeah,
he was ready to get out of there.
He wanted to leave. And what you guys didn't see was, like, even in the live feeds, they didn't show the first 10 days, which is a long time for only when we're only 30 days. So he was really wanting to leave. And I was like, everybody, we should let him leave. And everybody's like, no, if he wants to leave today, imagine how much he's going to want to leave tomorrow. And I was like, wait, let's just let Ron leave. I mean, Meta leave. Like, let Meta go. Like, this is crazy.
I was watching that. You could see he was not having it.
He was not having it. But then, I mean, in good gameplay, though, when we did need him to leave and keep Brandy for me and Ross, it did work out.
It
like
sure
they
did.
Were they were right about that.
It sure did. So you've done, I think,
everything.
Job in the whole
yeah.
world, because then I don't know what happened, so you're going to tell us. But for 1 minute, I thought I saw you as one of the hosts on The Talk.
Yeah.
Did I not see
I
your
was.
Name?
Oh, my God. You guys,
picture
when
come
you
up?
Talk about my career, it seems so like erratic. Like, it's like there's no method to my madness.
Well, there doesn't have to be method. You just need to keep working and doing things you love.
That's how I kind of feel.
And I feel that's correct.
Yes.
But what happened there? Because you were there and then you weren't.
Okay, so I was there. I was one of the original hosts.
Correct.
So what happened there was I was hired on when it was like, here are the, you know, I always called it the big girl table because I never really got to sit at the big girl table.
I never saw you there.
Exactly. So I was like the field producer. I don't know what I was. I was like Twitter Tuesday and I would sit in the audience. But I was like, I'm getting paid. I don't know. Like, it seems to work out. So, but I was one of the original, like, when there was only going to be five, right? It was only going to be five. And then Leah Remini's, like, deal was, she had a deal at ABC, and then her deal went away. And then she, CBS, of course, loves her because they've worked with
her
for.
They didn't love her that much. They fired her and Holly Robinson after the first season.
They did. I didn't even make it through the first season,
oh,
though. So, but they love, I go back all the time. Like, I, like, actually have a fabulous, I mean, obviously, they, like, put me on, well, CBS, like, at the time, like, Julie's like, Marissa loves Big Brother. I was the very first person to be
Is
hired.
Is that how you got hooked
on
up?
On Big Brother, yeah, because she had told.
That Julie Chen Moonves.
I love my Julie Chen Moonves. I love her. Not one bad thing to say about her. But I had a great, listen, my time at The Talk was amazing, and it also was like, oh, when you let me at the big girls table, I had a lot of fun. But other than that, I was kind of like, well, do you guys need me to come in tomorrow? Okay. Like, it was fun. It was fine.
All right.
And
so
I had blonde hair. I was like very blonde and very like talk show hosty, and I tried.
Now, I had read that you said you left the show to focus on a clothing line.
Yes.
Is that true?
Well, I mean, I left the show because I was fired, but I had a great story, right? I had other things lined up at the time. So we leaned on that.
I like that.
I mean, I was fired. I didn't leave on my own.
This is a good spin.
Yeah.
I took
a really good spin. I had, at the time, I had a network very excited to shoot a reality show where I was starting my own plus size clothing line. And that's literally has always been a dream of mine. Like, and that was in 2010. So that
what
was.
What happened to that?
Well, it was before, I mean, like, it was, what happened to that? I don't know. The company, like, everything's different now than it was then.
Okay, so we need to
go back
and get yourself a plus.
Exactly. But,
yes!
And then, but, like, they were like, no one wants a plus size clothing line. This was in 2010. And I would say, like, well, you walk into a Bloomingdale's and And if you want to find out anywhere, if you want to find the plus size clothing line, like the sizes, you're literally like, you are looking, you're like, where is the dark racks where no, but where it's like a, you know, like you can't find it. It's like you have to go like travel through, you know, like a, you know, a desert to find the plus size clothing line. And when you do, it's literally like just like dirty racks that are like falling down and they're just muumuus. They're just fabrics, right? Like, and lots of patterns because, you know, big girls want to wear big patterns. No, we just want normal clothes like everybody else.
But there are a few plus size models that do have clothing lines.
Yeah, so now, that was 2010. So, yeah. And I say that back in 2010, you look, there was nobody.
You were ahead of your game.
I was. I always am.
Darn it.
So then so we had a company, we were about to manufacture, we were about to do a show, and then like, then the show didn't want to do it, and then the like, it's just like everything fell apart.
Well, I think it's time to redirect right back.
What I need to do is find like what people are doing and then find the thing they're not doing, right?
I would do, if it was me, I would do a plus size leisure line.
Oh, yeah, because let's be clear. No. We all live in Lululemon.
I mean, right?
Because it stretches.
That's what I would do. But, yes. You know. All right. Then you did a children's music album.
Well, I never finished it, but I did. I was
but
on
you wrote
a lot.
The songs,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. And I did. And I actually did the songs on other people's children's albums, on other people's albums, because it just was easier.
And you got to sing with Kermit.
I did. Oh, my God. I just
Rainbow
did that.
Connection.
That was like amazing. And see, and I sung that on the talk. See, they love me there, even though they fired me.
I just love that you sang with Kermit.
I did. I really feel like I'm special, right? When I feel like I say like, oh my God, that was a dream come true, or that was my favorite job. Like at the time, every job is my favorite job. Every dream, I feel like I fulfill dreams every time I work.
That's
like
so
I,
fabulous.
And I really do. Like when you're saying, I'm like, when you put it all like this, I'm like, wait, I just said that was my favorite job. But singing with Kermit was outrageous.
That you also said one of your other favorite jobs was directing a local show, Bridesmaids musical.
Oh my God. That was my favorite job.
You see?
No, I think if you try a lot of things, like that job was just outrageous. I loved directing.
That's your career goal, right? To direct musical theater?
To direct musical theater. And I've taken those girls, all those girls that I put in Bridesmaids have now their careers are all, like I put these girls in Bridesmaids and they all say, this isn't me being like, I'm mentoring them. Like I really mentor them. I mean, I'm like, this is why you're not working as much as you should. And let's figure that out because I can see it because I've been in the business for so long now. And, you know, one of the girls is on that new show. Oh my gosh. And see, now I'm horrible, but they're like, everybody's working.
That's
everybody's working. And
you're paying it forward.
Totally.
You're paying
and I love working with women.
And you were just on a couple weeks ago. I watched and laughed my ass off on Family Feud.
Oh my gosh.
What the heck was that line? What happened?
Okay.
What went on?
So it was Celebrity Family Feud and we were playing against Cameron Manheim's family.
You were at her wedding. She was at your wedding.
Yeah,
I don't
we've
know,
been friends.
Was,
I know. Yeah. He was like, this isn't how Family Feud
you're
goes. You're not supposed to hug each other.
Right.
Supposed to fight. I'm like, well, we're never going to fight, you know? There was so many. I mean, one of the questions literally was, what does a man do on his way home? Like, what does he buy on the way home from a bad date? And, you know, and I was like, hooker, you know, or prostitute, you know, but I felt like, but I'm so PC. I know it seems so weird, but I like have grown up in like that world of like, just keep it clean. Don't talk politics. Just be like, you know, don't swear that even
well,
saying
hooker is not political.
Well, I said prostitute and it was he just.
Oh, so I saw Steve Harvey turned around. He went, whoa.
Yeah. He couldn't believe I said it. Honestly, I think is what happened. Yeah.
He's heard worse. Trust
me. But all every right. question was. Setting
it's always
me up.
Dirty.
It's always setting
That's
you up.
That's what he
up.
Wants. He That's wants the dirty absolute. Answers.
And we want
That's...
that as the audience.
Of course you do.
But I felt like I was like a sitcom character like on Family Feud. It was like I couldn't believe my brother was there and my niece
Your
was there.
Your brother was really smart.
My brother was.
He was kicking butt.
Yeah, he was.
I was impressed with him. All right. Let's talk about your project at Netflix.
Yeah.
Tell us all about that.
Okay, so this is just so much fun because it's a dance movie. And it's called Feel the Beat. It changed from when I first got it, so I knew. And
well, they have in our industry, they have what's called a working title.
Yeah, so that's the working title right now.
And then they change it sometimes.
And the star of it is from The Descendants, and her name's Sophia... Carson. And see, I'm like so bad with, I'm great with first names, bad with last names. Sophia Carson from The Descendants. And she's so great. And I mean, what's great is I get to play myself. And here's the really good news.
Nobody asked you to change or lose weight or anything?
Not only were they like, we want you. They were like, we want more of you. We want, like, they were like,
bag of chips, aisle one.
Exactly, exactly. They were like, more hair, tighter dress, more makeup. It was literally the best costume I've ever, like, I couldn't believe it. Because I usually show up to a wardrobe fitting, and I'm going to be totally honest. I show up to a wardrobe fitting, and it's like dresses that are like three sizes too big. You say you're like, I'm a 14. They're like, I don't know what to do with all of that. And they bring like the worst clothing, right? Ugh. Like no brands, like, and you're like, you know that every brand you have in a size 2, they also make it in a size 14. It's a shocker, but it is true. Like, you can even probably get a 16 in that dress, you know, or like any dress you get in
an
extra small.
Designers are being generous.
Thank you. Yes. And fashion people in wardrobe now are also being generous,
yes,
thankfully. I've had a long run with wardrobe, so I always bring my own stuff. And even in this movie, I brought three of my own dresses because I was like, they're never going to pull something good for me.
You and I have the same jacket. She's wearing the jean jacket that I just bought.
I bought two of them.
Oh, I love them.
I bought two of them because I love it so much.
I love them.
And then I bought it also. This is a dark. I'm wearing the dark jean jacket.
Yes, then they have the light version.
I got that one and the white one.
Whoa. Ooh.
But I got two jean ones because I was like, I'm going to like put
patches.
Yeah, like stuff all over it.
So cute.
But I haven't.
So cute.
So this movie is great. What I love about it is, well, A, I love Netflix. I was so happy to.
When does the movie drop?
I'm going to guess. I would say it would drop in like 8 months.
Okay.
Right? Like 6 months, 8 months. Like, okay, we're still filming. I still go back.
Oh, you're still working on it.
Like, I go back next week to do a couple more
Where
days.
Where do they shoot it? Canada?
Toronto. Yeah. I mean, it's a big dance movie, which was so awesome because there were so many little kids, because it's like a kid's, like, it's a dance movie. And I really think this is going to be like, you know, like High School Musical. Like, it's going to be like that. Like, kids are going to. Kids, teens, adults, and there's so much great comedy, and like, and
What's your character in the movie?
Well,
the
I'm playing myself because there's like a contest, and I'm like a judge, but I also have some great moments with people. I don't want to spoil it, but I have some great moments Marissa to the 10, you know?
And you're most proud that there was a woman director, yes?
Yes, there was a woman director. She was amazing. I think we're all getting on board with the whole, like, we need, you know, it just, everything needs to be equal. Like, it can be a man, but it would be nice if it's a woman also. You know what I mean? Like, I've been around for so long, as you all just heard. I've literally, I started TV.
She crammed this whole career in 4 minutes, so don't worry about it.
Like, I was around when the talkies first came out. but, like, I'm from a time where there were no female writers. There were no female directors. There was nobody, you know, on staff that was like, well, this is what a woman would sound like, you know? So I really appreciate now that people are at least, you know, I mean, it's insane that we have to say to a writer's room, you have to have a woman in there. Well, of course you do. You need diversity. Like, diversity is what it's all about.
Also, if you're writing a character that's a woman, you need a woman to tell you what that character would do.
Yes.
Hello?
Because if men knew what women would do, they would do things much differently.
This is why they can't deliver babies. You understand?
Yeah. Well, I, on the other side of the spectrum, was the one who couldn't deliver the baby.
Well,
but
you had a good reason.
I spazzed.
You had a good reason.
Yeah. But no, I loved where, I mean, like, and just having a woman director, I don't know. It just, I've recently been very lucky to have a few women directors where I'm like, oh my gosh, it's just, and respectful and women, and nobody's yelling. I don't know. Not that all men yell. That's also a horrible.
Oh, some women do.
Some
yell
women
on the
some,
set too.
Yes, correct. Correct.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, listen, that it's just nice to have a woman's perspective.
And it's
That's
nice.
What I
and
think.
It's nice for the studio and the network and the producers to be like, we have a woman at the top. Like, I think it's good for, I personally was like happy that all those little girls that are dancing in this movie or all these little girls that are the actress, because there's a lot of younger kids in it.
Do they know who you are? Did they see?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I mean, these are like, these are kids who are like, I've danced to your music before you were, you know, they're basically like, when I started dancing, I was dancing to you. I was like, oh, that was, you know, 15 years after I did that song. But great. Like, I'm, you're 8, you know?
Yeah.
But I liked letting them see. You know, it's like important for little girls to see women in charge, that you can dream bigger than just being the assistant.
Because you didn't have that growing up. So
it didn't even occur to me that I could do
that.
Well,
we didn't know any different, you know, until later on.
Yeah.
And so after you finish with this movie, what's your aspiration? What do you want to do?
What's my dreams and goals?
Yeah, what do you, I mean, I know one of your goals is the musical theater.
Yeah.
But what?
Yeah, I want to go back to Broadway as soon as they, you know, as soon as I can make it happen. It has been hard. I totally, I admit and take the blame when people are like, why aren't you doing Broadway? I'm like, I also have this 11-year-old. You know, he's only 11 and children are only young ones. So like my feeling was I wanted to keep him.
You don't want to travel all over the world and leave him at home?
I had a lot of mommy issues because my parents were never around. So I try to like, so unfortunately I've gone the other route and I smother him completely. He's like, it's time for you to go back to New York, mommy. Yeah.
What about revisiting the talk show? I mean, we've got Kelly Clarkson coming.
I know. I love Kelly Clarkson.
Well, you remind me a lot of her.
Thank you. My son says that as well.
You do.
The voice, my son's always like, you're like the Kelly Clarkson of the show. I'm like, yeah, that makes sense.
You kind of are. And I don't know, right now, it seems like the time to have someone with your vivacious personality and so pure.
I think if I could say like, okay, tomorrow, what's your dream job? My dream job would be like a half hour dramedy, like not straight up sitcom, but not straight up, you know, but not drama. Like I always say that.
What are
like,
your favorite shows on television?
Well,
now?
I loved Fleabag. I love Fleabag so much. I loved. I mean, I liked Russian Doll. Like I always like the dark comedies. Like I really do. I like the smart comedies.
Yes,
you know?
I like the smart comedies.
I liked Dead to Me. I love
my favorite.
Right. Like if you haven't seen that, go.
Christina Applegate. I love rules. In that.
That was one show that I was like, oh, I wish I was on this show. And that doesn't happen a lot.
I binged that thing in literally one minute. I couldn't stop.
And I want to watch it again because I know I missed stuff because I watched it all in one day.
It was really brilliant.
So those are like the type of shows. And I always say like, basically with me, because I'm not your typical leading lady, right? So, and I go back because I'm old. I go back to being like, if I was Ally McBeal, you would literally watch that show and be like, oh, is she going to be okay? You know, like we always knew that Calissa Flockhart was going to find a new man. And like Sex and the City, we always knew, you know,
Big would be there.
We knew Sarah Jessica Parker was going to be fine. Like, it's Sarah Jessica Parker.
By the way, speaking of that, has anyone seen Chris Noth recently?
No.
Oh my God, he has earned his name, Mr. Big.
Oh,
Mr. Big
no.
has found the bag of chips.
Well, you know what? Then he can come over and hang out and watch TV with me. Like, I'll still take Mr. Big. I'm okay.
I ran into him the other day and literally could not even recognize him.
But I think that people do that with me. It's not so funny. I'm like, when
you
I get
look exactly the same.
Thank
to
you.
Me
but I feel like people, like, the minute
ago.
I leave, they're like, wow, she really chunked it in. Or, nope. or yeah. But
We're going to be the complete opposite.
Yeah.
And
thank you.
We're going to be talking about your cat ears for the next year.
Yes. I was just about to.
I know.
We're
going
to be, everybody that's listening will be able to see because we're going to take a picture.
Great.
And they're going to see the cat ears. It's very a reminder of, and I'm wondering if JoJo, the little YouTube girl with the bows, hadn't sussed you out and found your hair accessories.
Maybe.
Because you were the first one, if I can remember, with those little bows in your hair.
I've been doing bows and clips. I used to make my own. I would go to the craft store and get like Barbie doll heads and put them in my hair.
Well, she has her own line now.
Of course she does.
Okay.
But I don't have 8 million or probably 18 million YouTube fans.
Well, we can make that happen.
Thank you.
We can try.
Okay.
We can try.
Okay. You
all
can
right,
all have
well,
cat ears.
This has been unbelievably fun for me. I adore you.
Thank you.
You are just adorable. I don't care what you think. You look fabulous.
Thank you.
And I want to see, this is what I want.
Okay.
I want a book
okay.
that you teach people how to count the calories properly.
Yeah.
I want to see a plus size line
okay.
for you.
Yep.
And honestly, a talk show at some point.
Yeah.
That'll keep you home with your 11-year-old and you won't have to travel. And when your kid is 15, 16, go back to
right.
Broadway.
Right.
It'll still be there.
Yeah.
It's
that's what I tell everybody. It's always going to be there. I can go when he goes to college. I'll move back to New York.
I mean, you are a star.
Because that's where he'll go to college.
Ah! No.
You're going to New York.
I was like, well, you're
going
go to
NYU.
NYU and mommy's going to go back to Broadway now. And we'll just share an apartment. It'll be so fun.
Well, I have to say, we're looking forward to your Netflix movie.
Thank
Again,
you.
The name of the movie is?
Feel the Beat.
Feel the Beat. And we are going to feel the beat. Give out your social media handle so people can follow you and say things to you.
Yeah, you can say things to me. Nice things. On Instagram, Marissa Jarrett Winoker. On Twitter, Marissa J. Winoker.
There you go. Well, this has been fantastic.
Thank you so much for coming in. Thank you. Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds.
You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.